Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494 to join us. A third clue for Hugh's Clues coming later this hour. Unless you guys get it before then. A couple clues out there for you. A pair of tickets, the HBCU Swingman Classic coming your way for the winner today. That game tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, Citizens Bank Park. The All-Star festivities begin. We're excited for it all this weekend into the beginning of next week. By the way, I think the National League is waiting on full go-aheads from Bryce Harper and Kyle Schwarber to name the full home run derby field for Monday night. Because, Hugh, they've announced the four American League players that are in the home run derby. It's Caglione, Wilson Contreras, Ben Rice, and Caminero. They're all in. They haven't said anything about the NL guys. So I think they're waiting on the go-aheads from Bryce and Schwarber. We'll keep an eye on that and when we get some news there. And, of course, all your calls on Mattingly. Do you think he's locked to be the manager next year? And would you trade Embiid for Anthony Davis to entice LeBron James? I would. But, Hugh, I've been following something over the past week or so. ESPN is putting out their rankings, and this is when they talk to executives, right? This is not just like, you know, some guy. Mm-hmm. Right? This is people around the NFL ranking the players at each position. So, just to catch everyone up, Saquon came in third at running back behind Bijan and Jahmyr Gibbs. No problem with that. In fact, I was wondering where Saquon would come in because he fell last year, right, compared to the year before. But he came in third among running backs. Both Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean made the top 10 at corner. We did not have a pass rusher within the top 10, which is not surprising, right? We don't have that one guy on the edge. But today was defensive tackles. And, Hugh, I got to tell you, I was a little surprised at how the list came out. And it also got me wondering about a guy we talk about a lot. So here's the defensive tackle list, according to ESPN. Number one, Leonard Williams, Seattle Seahawks. Number two, Jeffrey Simmons, who just got his new huge contract a couple days ago, right? The $105 million deal, Tennessee Titans.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Carter at number three. I'm going to let you hear what they said about him in a second. Chris Jones, four. Derek Brown, five. Quinnen Williams, six. Dexter Lawrence, seven. Zach Allen from the Broncos, eight.
Quinnen Williams. You said six.
Six.
Okay. No, just like, okay. No, just playing it over my head. Gotcha.
Milton Williams, the ex-Eagle, obviously Patriot now, number nine.
Hmm.
Jordan Davis, number 10. But here's what caught my attention in what they wrote about Jalen Carter. So Jalen Carter came in, got the third most votes, getting number three on this list. But so here's what was written. Quote, he's a problem, a veteran NFL defensive coach said, a game wrecker. You feel his presence out there. But then the story continues. Some evaluators argued, however, that was not the case on every snap. A few voters said Carter is not the best defensive lineman on his own team, opting for Jordan Davis instead. Quote, he flashes 10 times a game, but gets dragged far too often by average players, an NFL coordinator said. Hugh, your reaction to Jalen Carter, 3. Jordan Davis, 10. But really what was said about Jalen Carter there was some people were like, eh, he's not quite as great as some other people think.
I don't know. Drag is kind of strong.
It is.
This is how I look at Jalen Carter. That's okay. Say I'm gonna use an analogy here, and I hope you can follow me. Say if you see a pit bull in a lot that's off the leash, and you see its physical presence and everything. You don't know that dog from a can of paint, so you don't know what that dog's gonna do. That's kind of what Jalen Carter is. He has all the physical attributes to get it done. You just don't know if today's gonna be the day.
Right.
And the reason why I say that, because I think back to when I was in Atlanta and Rusty Manziel told me a story about how when he was at practice, Kirby Smart called him out. And then he just proceeded to wreck every offensive lineman that they had out there. They couldn't block him. He was unblockable. They had to shut the practice down because he was unblockable. And we've seen flashes of that. Jalen Carter's that pit bull. You know he has all the physical traits to wreak havoc if that's what they want to do, but they don't do it all the time. And that's the issue. And I can see the comparison to Jordan Davis or saying Jordan's a better player. Jordan's a harder worker.
Mm-hmm.
And Jordan's worked harder these last couple seasons to put himself in that position where he got a new contract and all this other stuff. And people question whether or not, you know, he was worth the pick that he got. He got his weight down. He stayed consistent last year. Jalen, the thing that I remember about Jalen last year, and this is sad to say, his biggest play was spitting on Dak.
You're right.
When you think about that, and that might be hyperbolic.
I don't think it is. At least it's the most memorable play he made last year.
Yeah, because that's what you're thinking. Because when you think of big plays, when you think of Jalen Carter, And I know you probably think about it. You think back to that Rams game in the Super Bowl, in the Super Bowl run.
Yeah, the sack and
when
the slapping.
The sack and,
Mahomes' face.
Yes,
yeah.
And you know, he had moments like that where you're looking like, this guy's going to be special. Last year, I think the biggest play that I remember is the one that I said, him spitting on Dak. And outside of that, you know, him playing and finding out his shoulders were messed up and him getting the procedure, the PRP to try to get his shoulders right. That's it.
So I think you're right on that. And as I've looked at the list, right, and I think he came in a fair spot. I think you could have put him a few spots lower based on last year. But when I read the quote from the evaluator saying that he gets dragged by average players too often, right, he has 10 or so flash plays again, then he gets dragged, it made me think that we overrate him. I think that we overrate Jalen Carter. I don't disagree with Hugh that he has the talent in his body, right? Mm-hmm. Like he could one day be a defensive player of the year kind of player. He could one day be the best defensive tackle in the NFL. He could one day put up the stats and kind of the production that a Chris Jones has in his career. He could. He hasn't yet. It's just the truth. Like, we talk about Jalen Carter sometimes as if he's done all of this already. He has not. You look at his career, you look at the three seasons. Nice first year, but he fell off at the end. Like, to me, hit a wall. Second year was incredible. That was like, wow, this is the guy maybe he could be. Postseason, you mentioned the Rams, sack of Stafford, the Super Bowl, awesome. Last year, there were injuries. He missed the game with a heel injury, shoulder issues, spit on Dak, did not produce down the stretch. I just feel like sometimes we talk about him as if he's already done it, but he hasn't really done it yet.
Well, you know what it is, Joe? It's because we remember him from that Super Bowl run.
Yes.
And how dominant he was. And he was prematurely anointed that dude, you know, because he was that dude. And we talked about the plays that he was making. And then we come back that next year, and it's kind of like, huh. And then, you know, you had the spit gate or whatever you want to call it. So that's kind of been it. It's there. That's probably the same reason why Eagles are kind of reluctant or hesitant, I should say, to sign him to a new deal. He has to prove that he can be that consistent guy that we think he is. He's a beast. No question about it. If he locked in and focused, put it like this. If he had Jordan Davis's work ethic, we'd be talking about him as a lock, as a Hall of Famer probably right now.
Well, and with that, because you just mentioned it, this might be part of the reason the Eagles haven't given the money yet. Like, just think about it from this perspective. He was ranked the third best player in his position, and the Eagles could give him a new deal right now, and they haven't done it yet. Right?
Yeah.
That kind of gives you a sense of a lot.
And that's why when I listened to that list and I was thinking, a lot of those guys are there. They play well, but it's the potential. Because that's what you're talking about when you talk about Jalen Carter, the potential. He has the potential to be number one. Because when you talk about, Joe, think about it. We just sat here and we said one of his most memorable plays was spitting on somebody, and he's still the third-ranked D-tackle in the game. What does that tell you about his skill set or how he's thought about in the NFL? I mean, that says a lot.
It does. I mean, he could be that good. So the other thing I thought of as I saw the list was, my goodness, the 2024 Eagles were loaded. Three of the top 10 players at a position were on their team, which means one of those three, Jordan Davis, didn't even play starter snaps. I know he got better, right? Davis that year wasn't as good as he is now. But, like, just think about that. They had three of these players on their roster 2 years ago.
Interestingly enough, to this conversation, the Eagles only paid one of those three guys.
Jordan Davis. That's right of the three, that's the only one they paid.
Right.
I don't know. I wonder what that's like to watch film and see somebody as a coach, right? And look at them and say, damn, if only he would lock in.
Right.
If only, you know, because he's out there, you know, he's a man among boys. If only he would do this, or maybe if he took it a little serious. Like, I don't know what the conversation is being had, but I'm just recklessly speculating here, because for you to be the third best D tackle, and your numbers don't reflect that.
Mm-mm.
In a year where you talk about the dudes that are ahead of you had the numbers, and you're in front of Chris Jones,
who had the numbers.
Like, what does that tell you? What does that tell you?
Yeah.
It's telling. It's just, I would be, if I was him, I would look at that and I would probably feel some kind of way. Mm-hmm. Because I'm not living, I have all the potential, I'm just not living up to it.
I think Eagles fans, or, you know, I won't even say Eagles fans of every team, every sport, whatever. We do this thing where we're told how great this player has the potential to be. And then in our minds, if you see one flash of it,
he's there.
They're there.
Yeah.
We, you know, Flyers fans do this with Matvei Michkov. Like, you know, whenever it comes up, the idea of potentially trading him for a superstar at another position, everyone's like, no, well, like, you know, Michkov, like, how could you possibly trade Michkov? Right. Michkov has not reached that level yet in the NHL. Jalen Carter, while he has the potential to be the best defensive player in the league, he has not been. He just hasn't.
Nope.
The entire time he's been in the NFL, has he had flashes? Yes. He's also had flashes of the obvious reasons why the Eagles haven't paid him. Like, we put polls up here just to illustrate how overrated he is, I think, by the fans. Mm. Would you be open to trading Jalen Carter? 73% no. Not even open to trading him. What would you rather do with Jalen Carter? Make him the highest paid defensive tackle in the NFL or trade him? 66% said make him the highest paid player or highest paid defensive player
right.
in the NFL.
The reaction is as if he's already there. He's already
right.
there.
But all you need to know is the Eagles haven't made him the highest paid defensive player in the NFL. They're probably going to make him play out this season. So
it feels like that's the case because we're barreling towards the beginning of the season.
Yeah. So the Eagles,
what's it, the 28th?
The Eagles disagree with your evaluation of Jalen Carter.
First practice is 28th. Yeah.
If you're one of those fans who think he's one of the best players already, the Eagles disagree.
Well, and that
because otherwise they would have paid him.
It's like you know, he gets the crazy part is that he can have the flashes of excellence, but also, like the quote said, get dragged by average offensive linemen. At
times. that's the one that got me dragged.
Because
strong.
Players of that caliber should never get dragged by average players. And at times, obviously, the tape says he does. 215-592-9494. You can react to this as well. Do we overrate Jalen Carter? I mean, he's obviously a wonderful talent, and there's a reason he is who he is and was drafted where he was, and he helped the Eagles win the Super Bowl. But I just keep thinking about his career, and it's like he's had 3 years. One of them has felt like, okay, this is the guy we talked about. The other two have felt a little choppier. But last year, he just didn't have a good year last year. I mean, he just did not. I mean, and then you also think about how much of it is physical. Like, there's a part of lock-in, but also, remember he had the shoulder procedure?
Mm-hmm.
You know, big people with bad shoulders, you kind of worry about that, right? They got to make sure he's healthy and the guy they want him to be. Let's go back to the phone lines. Frank in Galloway is up on WIP. Frank?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, Frank.
So, the LeBron situation. Mm-hmm. I mean, I agree with you more, John. It is a little fetched. I mean, but you would be getting rid of Joel, which ultimately, and again, with all respect, you know, in a nice way, we do want to do. A lot of people want to do because it is best for the team for the long run. So I'd rather take my chances with Davis and to bring LeBron here. I mean, I don't think there's many other options, you know?
Well, I agree. I mean, in terms of enticing him, Frank, there's not. I mean, this would be he obviously has a relationship with AD. They won a championship together. And Frank, even if you kind of remove the LeBron thing to it, and you mentioned just moving off Embiid, I actually think Davis, if healthy, right, if both guys are healthy, the way Davis plays fits more on this kind of team than Embiid. Like, he's a defensive player more than an offensive player.
And that's probably what you need at this point.
Definitely. And what LeBron should be really thinking is this. If he goes to, say, Cleveland, and you got Harden there. We all know what his situations are, where he goes. Or if he goes to Miami, there's a chance he could be facing the Sixers in the playoffs and ultimately lose that series. So would he rather be on the team that's going to most likely win at the end of the season? Yeah, I think at this point, if he's playing the Sixers, that's pretty bad. You know, I hope that's not what's happening.
Me too. Yeah, it seems so silly. Like, just go to the team you want to go to. Don't play the Sixers. Frank, what do you got for us? Huge clues. What's the answer?
Guys, I didn't catch it again today. I'm sorry. I'm in and out of work, so I didn't catch
you're
it. I'm sorry.
Disaster,
my bad, you.
No, you're good, man.
Good, Frank.
Hey, you gotta get that money.
Yeah,
all right. That
money. Frank, we appreciate the phone.
Pay attention to you.
I did it yesterday, too. But I did catch some of it, but my bad. I thought
you're good.
Frank, good phone call, man. We appreciate it. Frank there with, he gets it. Bring Anthony Davis in, trade Joel Embiid, and entice LeBron James.
Enticing.
Entice him. Get him. Let's go to James Delaware. What's up, James?
Hey, hello, everyone.
Hey, what's going
James.
On,
James?
Hi. Joe, I actually have an easiest way to entice LeBron in Sixers.
Okay.
So what do you do is, my plan is better than yours, Joe. What do you do is, you trade for his son. Bring his son. How much his son is going to cost? Maybe two second round.
Yeah, that's about right.
We trade him here. Mm-hmm. We kidnap him and we say we hold him hostage. We say LeBron, come get your son. When he get here, we say please play for us. That's it. That's the easiest way to bring LeBron in.
You know, James, I like this a lot. I like this a lot. We trade for Bronny James.
We have your son.
Yes. If you want him, come and get him.
And number two, Joe, Anthony Davis, the idea for Anthony Davis, I'm against that because Embiid is a better player than Anthony Davis if he's healthy. The idea of bringing Anthony Davis, I don't want a circus. And the number three is LeBron might come out and say, I'm not holding on line. I'm hanging up. He might retire, and all these talks just out the window.
I don't think he's going to retire.
I'm just.
No, we recklessly speculating. I respect it. Yeah, you never know.
Yeah, I'm just usually speculate instead of regularly.
That's what Hugh does every day. James, this is the place. If you want to recklessly speculate, you found the right place. James, what is the answer to Hugh's clues? Who's he talking about today?
Boom, boom, Mancini.
Boom, boom, no.
Who?
He said Ray Mancini.
That's not it. James, good phone call. I like James a lot.
That was his way of saying he wasn't participating in the festivities.
So what are we feeling now? That's 12-16.
I feel good.
Okay. I bet you do, buddy.
I am so confident in my Hughes clues. I mean, I am. I can't help it. Like, people are working. They get passes because people are working. They're not paying attention. Some people aren't. So I'll give them pass.
Yeah, but what about everybody else? No pass? No pass for any of that? No. All right, let's go to Sean in the Northeast. What's up, Sean?
Hey, Joe. Hey, Hugh. How are you guys doing today?
What's up, buddy?
So main thing I want to talk about was Mattingly, just the outright disrespect of him already not being the permanent manager. But I did want to touch upon Jalen Carter. I do not think he's overrated. Just the impact he's made on this Philadelphia team since he got here is undeniable. You know, he clearly helped us win that Super Bowl. I feel like we should just pay that man, even if he is the highest paid defensive player in the league.
So, Sean, before you go on, does it concern – not? Look, I want to keep him. If like when push comes to shove, I'd rather have him than not. And I think he's a little bit overrated. But does it concern you that sometimes he's great and other times, you know, these people that watch film are saying he gets pushed around by average players?
It does. But after just seeing how he was in the playoffs and when we did win the Super Bowl, you know, his impact is there. His impact is there. You know, we need to keep this guy, no matter how much the cost is.
You know what it is? I could hear it when you say it, and I think for a lot of people that feel this way, it's his ceiling, right? Like this, we've seen the ceiling. It's awesome.
That's basically when he's rated at three. That's basically what they're talking about.
His ceiling, right? Yeah. Like if he's at his best, he's that good. It's just how often do we get his best? All right, Sean, what do you think about Mattingly?
So Mattingly, like I said, I feel like it's already disrespectful. We haven't signed him for a permanent manager already. You know, Cora is a great coach, don't get me wrong, but Mattingly, he's a legend in the MLB. The players clearly respect him. The offense clearly improved since he's taken over. Honestly, my question for you guys is, what more can this guy do to make it just undeniable?
So that's a good question. So I actually think it's really just going to come down to the postseason because they've been a playoff team every year anyway, right? It's the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, so that's not the criteria.
Yeah, it's almost like they should be there. I think it's going to come down to the postseason, Sean. To me, if they get to the NLCS, then he's locked in. Anything less than that, I think it's up in the air. Even though we might want him and we might think he deserves it, I think it's up in the air. Sean, what do you got for Hugh's clues? What's the answer today?
All right, so I heard an X-Men answer earlier. It got close, but I think the answer today is Halle Berry.
You nailed it. You nailed it, Sean. Man.
See, these clues aren't that hard. They're really not.
Good job.
Sean, you're headed to the HBCU Swingman Class. Congratulations. Halle Berry. Yes. Now, she played multiple superheroes.
Yeah, she played Catwoman.
Yep.
I think she was in one of the John Wick movies, too. But she wasn't a superhero, but she was a hero. Action hero.
When you landed on this as the Hughes clues today, we looked up. Halle Berry's almost 60 now.
Yeah, we were talking about it because we got here, because I guess Stacey Dash was thirst trapping, but we weren't about to talk about Stacey Dash.
You know? You just did.
Look, look, controversial. So that was
nice job. Yep.
Wait a minute, I forgot. I was supposed to lead.
Loose lips, Douglas. Back. Good job. Good job.
So we pivot. We did a pivot.
You are the worst.
Hey, Kyle. You know how when you careened down that road and you hit that slippery piece of ice. And it's just like at this point.
You are that slippery piece of ice.
At this point, Joe, you just got to be like, oh, hell. Well, we just hope for the best. We're just hoping. At this point, we're just hoping for the best.
I'm not sure I'm going to recover from that one. I mean, we haven't had one of those since the originating Loose Lips Douglas when he just jumped on the air. Now, at least that one, it was, hey, keep this here. 10 minutes later, you ran to the air with it. This one, at least it was 2.5 hours later. Enough time has passed, so. Anyway, we got to Halle Berry.
I know. Blue Jeans off like, gosh darn it. What the hell?
I did like the Ohio clue as the second one because she was Miss Ohio 1986.
Yeah, she was. And I had a big old crush. I was kind of mad because one of my favorite artists, like Van Hunt, he's not mainstream, but he's really good. They've been dating for a while.
I mean, who didn't have a crush on Halle Berry,
yeah,
though?
Yeah. 60. She's holding it down for 60, yes.
You still have a chance, though. I mean,
they've been together. I think they're about to get married. They've been locked in for a while.
Well, I mean, listen, shoot or shoot, you got to.
Yeah, listen. You know, them shots, they've been clanging off the rim. Clang. We still shooting, though.
Listen, you get right back in the gym.
We still shooting.
Just get
we
back in that gym. Hugh, what's the worst that happens?
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, I guess.
94 WIP breaking news.
The Ducks have matched Leo Carlson.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
They did this on purpose.
I thought when you hit the breaking news, I thought it was either.
Yeah, you thought we traded Embiid for AD and got LeBron here?
Yes, or Leo Carlson. And I felt if it was Leo, probably wasn't great news. All right, so the Ducks are matching the Leo Carlson offer. He's not going to be a Flyer. Now, this morning we were hearing and seeing that the Ducks were trying to make some deals, maybe to move money around. They probably have their. I didn't mean to make a joke. They probably have their ducks in a row, right? They're ready to go.
Match
it.
Where's the laugh track?
Do we have the Aaron laugh track? It just came to my. I didn't plan it.
No, it's fine.
Here's the thing. It's a bummer. It is a bummer. Is there anything else the Flyers could do? And we're gonna have Broads on at one to react to the bummer. Was this kind of the big thing? And now we kind of go back to where they were a week ago.
So I mean, Dylan Larkin's out there. There's another guy on the Blue Jackets. They could there are players they could go after.
Okay. But not to the level.
Not to that caliber.
I mean, this one would have been like all-time Flyers signing.
But I do think, even though it's not happening, it did signal something to me. Like they're in. They may say
win mode now.
Yeah,
I mean win now mode.
Exactly.
Win mode. Now.
Win mode. Now. Yeah. Now win
now,
mode.
Win mode now. Yeah, whatever. That.
They may say, "Hey, it might take a step back next year. Long-term stuff. Okay." When you make an offer like they did for Carlson, you're at least entertaining the idea of if this track works, we're going for it. So I appreciate that Danny Breer went for it. Ducks matched, and we are not getting him. So there's the breaking news. Broads will join us at 1 o'clock to talk more about it. 215-592-9494. You can react to that. LeBron AD stuff. Don Mattingly, gut feeling, do you think he's a lock to be the Phillies manager next year? And coming up, Jim Bowditt said something about Zach Wheeler's All-Star snub that I found interesting, and I agree with that. We said this on Monday when the team came out. I think baseball got it wrong from a certain perspective. Bowden's on it. We'll hit it next. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.